Welcome to the N1 podcast, where you'll get an inside look at stories from the Clemson MBA team,
as well as entrepreneurs and innovators from Greenville, South Carolina, and beyond.
Brought to you by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub at the Clemson University MBA program.
Welcome to N1. This is Jamie Patterson coming to you still from home, not from the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub. And today I am so excited that we are joined by one of our team members on the MBA staff who I have not seen in person since March. So I'm thrilled to have this time to talk to her and catch up with her. Katie Lentz is joining us today. She is one of our academic advisors in the MBA program and has been with us for several years. So Katie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I miss you.
I miss you. How are you doing, first of all?
Good. It's been hectic, as I'm sure every single human can relate to right now. But yeah, definitely ready to be back and interacting with students and staff and just being back to somewhat normal.
Absolutely. It's been crazy to think how many weeks we've been home, because I know when this first started, you know, it was almost like we were counting in days, and now we're counting in many, many weeks. So from that standpoint, what has it been like making that transition to working from home, and how have you still been able to support the students in terms of academic advising and really helping them map out their path in the program?
It's been a little bit of a challenge for sure, just because I'm so used to having face-to-face interactions where we can have laid out papers on desk and go through all of that. But definitely making sure that I'm available for phone calls, emails, any sort of connection that students need. Been a little bit more flexible on what we would probably consider our working hours, just because I think we all are a little bit dicey on what that is right now from home. So just making sure that I'm available if anybody needs anything, trying to support as much as possible. But, you know, our students are incredible and have adapted to this probably better than I would have if I were in their position. So it hasn't been too difficult.
I think the same thing in terms of their adaptability, because really to think back how quickly this happened, and they had to really adjust to online learning. And, you know, while it sounds magical, it's not the preferred method for all of our students. So some really had to adapt to Zoom and WebEx, which have been amazing tools, which I'm sure you spent a lot of time on.
Yes.
So it has been really interesting to kind of watch everybody navigate that. But I think it's interesting too, because you are also in the process of e-learning as you're currently getting your master's degree at University of Nebraska. In higher ed. So tell us a little bit about that and how that's going, because you are now juggling all the things between your own kind of school and work from home and family life.
I definitely went through the transition a little bit compared to everybody else. Since my entire program has been online, I was kind of in the group of students that it was, all right, we're just going to keep going like normal, nothing's changing. So spring was fairly routine, because by the time this all affected campuses, we were already almost done. Now this summer has been a little bit interesting, just trying to get back into the swing of things and making sure to carve out space when we no longer have those clearly defined, this is work building, this is home building, this is where I can go to a library. So making that has been a challenge, but I think that's also something that helps me relate to our students directly. Like, I can give them, all right, this has worked for me. Yeah. So this is maybe something to try. And I think that's been really, really beneficial. You know, I'm finishing up, I'm like a month away from being done. So it's like, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. So I think helping our students understand that, you know, gives me a little bit of an upper hand in that situation.
Well, you bring up such a great point, because our work days I don't know when they start, when they end, kind of this whole cycle in between. I know I've gotten on a really good schedule of like between 6:30 a.m. and 8:30 a.m. before my kids wake up. Like I can kill it for 2 hours, and then and then it's wild time working in between. Sometimes on and off the computer until 9-10 o'clock at night. Again, not saying that's good, because there's got to be some sort of balance. Right. So my question to you is, how have you found that balance, especially with juggling so many other things?
Yeah, I think it's making a conscious effort of this is how much time per day. So even if it is a little haphazard, obviously I have a small child at home with me too. So that adds a different element, especially when we were doing homeschooling. It's like carving out time. I'm like, all right, this is when he's eating lunch. This gives me 2 hours of solid, let's nail this down time. And I think just really mapping out, I'm a huge checklist person. So every day just being like, I have to get these things done, and figuring out realistic time frame on how long things are going to take. And that's been an eye opener when you realize you're like, oh, this will only take an hour, and it ends up taking a little bit longer. You don't have as much flexibility right now.
Well, I love the checklist. I love that idea, because like I'm more of a planner, and it's like, but I think if you make the checklist and it forces you to kind of check things off, the plan kind of unfolds then in the process of that. So I might steal that from you. I'm going to start making myself checklists.
Yeah.
not just a scheduled plan, because we can't stick to it. It's impossible.
No. Yep. Our type A personalities are not doing well during this time.
I know. Well, so let's go back. So before you came to Clemson to work on the MBA team as an academic advisor, you were previously at Presbyterian College in financial aid, so have a little bit of a background in the academia side of things. But prior to that, you were in retail. So tell us a little bit more about your background. And I always love hearing just career paths of how you got to where you are, because I think that there are so many transferable skills to what you've done in the past that relate to being in the academic setting.
Yeah, absolutely. So graduated college, kind of on like the beginning side of the recession. And so jobs were tough, to be honest, and got a job working in retail management in stores, and quickly loved it. Realized a lot of stuff that I didn't know before actually went into it. As far as like sales forecasting, you do payroll, you're doing the HR side. And one thing that I particularly loved is that a lot of my employees were either high school or college students. And somehow we would always end up talking about a test that was coming up or something like that. So it was always kind of in the back of my mind. I'm like, maybe I should do something in education. But I had some great experiences in retail. I was able to work at one of the companies I worked for, their home office, developed part of a supply chain for the Times Square store. So, I mean, like, had some incredible, incredible opportunities in my life. But
hold on, you got to give the Pittsburgh shout out. You got to say where it was.
Oh, yeah. At Whiffer American Eagle, it's Pittsburgh. Southside, what's
that? No, I know, we have that Pittsburgh connection for sure.
Yes. I, however, could not handle Pittsburgh. After the winter I was there, we got 3 feet of snow in a day. I was like, get me back to South Carolina now. I cannot do this. I continued in retail, loved it, and then decided it was time for a change. I was, not getting any younger. And then also with family, it was very difficult for the schedule, to be completely honest. But when I was looking at where to go to next, I started thinking about all those interactions with my employees and everything like that. And I just was drawn to higher education. And within my first 2 days of working at PC, I texted my mom and I was like, yep, this is it. We're done. I'm doing this for the rest of my life. So it is definitely where I am supposed to be in life. So that's kind of the nutshell.
No, that's great. And it's so true. Because I just think with the experiences that you've had with your previous employment too, you know, part of academic advising is really, you get to know the students so well. You become truly a trusted advisor in their life. And, you know, topics will range from, yes, this is the classes that you should take and here's your course schedule. But they definitely also develop the relationship with you where they feel comfortable saying, I don't know what I want to do. Or, you know, what about this? Or do you know anything about this? And being in retail management, like you said, you had your hand in all of these different aspects of a business. So I think it's so helpful from the aspect of an MBA program to be able to say, well, actually, this was my experience. Because that's one of the things in career services is telling our students to talk to as many people as possible about their experiences, because everyone has a really important story to tell and everyone has such a different experience from their backgrounds and from previous roles. So I love that you're able to really guide people and be a good listening ear. For when there's confusion on, oh my gosh, so I'm here in the program, but now what?
Yeah, exactly. And then also I will say years of customer service and difficult retail customer interactions and stress. There are very few things at Clemson that could put me under that same level. And our students don't need that level of like, I'm angry or mad. And so I think it's also good having that customer service and trying to bring that to our students, making sure they feel supported and heard.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that. I think everybody should be in some form of customer service or sales type job where they have to interact with humans, because I would like my first job in high school was at Toys R Us. And you're 16 years old and the first Christmas that you're getting screamed at as a 16 year old because there are no more Tickle Me Elmos.
I don't know.
And you take it so personally at first, and then you realize after, you know, I guess maturing and growth that they're not mad at you. Like, it's not personal, right? And so I think that's such a big that's such a big deal, I think, in terms of professional growth, is getting some doors slammed in your face or talking or being in front of people that maybe aren't necessarily so kind, so that you figure out how to navigate that in the world, because the world is not always a nice sunshine place.
Exactly.
As much as I love it to be.
I know. It's not.
So, I know. So tell me, so my goodness, it's so, again, so crazy. I haven't seen you since March. And I just think about, you know, there's so many things to be thankful for about being a part of our Clemson family and our MBA family. You know, I think about Greenville One. You know, we haven't set foot in Greenville One in months. And just to maybe a prospective student, I mean, how would you describe our space? Because I feel like once you're in it for a while, you know, you forget how lucky we are to be in it. But now that we haven't been in it for so long, it's like you miss it. So
I know. I'm like, I just want my desk back. Like, little things. Like, those are the tiny, tiny things. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting because my first impression when I walked into the building is that you're like, okay, this is a little office-y. And then it's like you miraculously go up to the fifth floor and you open the doors and it's like, and we're at Clemson. And there's a definite presence. You feel welcome into the space right away. You know, we definitely have the academic classrooms, which look like classrooms. So there's that. But then I think also when you get up to the eighth floor, which is our offices for the staff, I think that's where you really see the personality of the program. Like, it is not typically a very, very quiet environment. I mean, we're not rowdy, but, you know, we're always talking to each other. People are moving from office to office. And I think it really speaks to, like, our departmental interconnectedness, which mm-hmm. is really helpful. So it's like we all are invested in every aspect of a student's growth. And yeah, I miss it so much.
I know.
I'm like gonna make myself cry. I'm like, I just want to go back there.
Well, hopefully soon, right? I mean,
hopefully
we'll be good to go for this fall. But again, there's so much unknown right now, and just and again, you know, student safety is number one, and we would never do anything to put the students in any type of environment that is not completely safe for them. So I think that's a huge deal for us as kind of this MBA family too. So
the Clemson University MBA program is home to full and part-time corporate and entrepreneurship degree programs, a part-time business analytics program, and the new online MBA. Learn more at www.clemson.edu/MBA.
But what brings you the most joy with advising students, with working with students? I mean, what are some, tell us a couple of those key things that really motivate you and keep you going?
I think, one, just working with students in general, and I know that sounds crazy, but I love when a student like has that moment where it's like, this is all gonna, but it's like their aha moment where they're looking through and they all of a sudden, and it could be from our first advising meeting, and I can tell them, by the way, you can graduate a semester earlier, or, you know, something like that, where they have these moments or they've struggled through something and ended up being successful, and seeing their joy and their, and like you were just talking about, their personal and professional growth is very rewarding. And now that I've been here for several years, it's nice to see people when they started and then when they graduate, and to see that growth, you know, not to say that we take full credit for it, but it's like, I was a part of that. Like, I feel like that just gives you something at the end of the day that makes it worthwhile.
Well, absolutely. And I would say too, you're one of the very first people that a student mm-hmm. will meet with when they come into the program. So, you know, you've seen them kind of bright eyed and like a little anxious, again, just not with the unknown when they first start the program. And then to see them finish and be gainfully employed and happy has got to be such a great feeling for you, because I'm sure you think back to that first meeting where you were like, ha, you didn't have a clue what you wanted to do. And now look at you. It's just been and truly in such a short amount of time.
It is. Or when they take like that one elective and they're like, oh my gosh, this is what I want to do. I need to go back and talk to Jamie and Kelly, and we need to rethink of where I need to be looking for jobs. You know, those are the moments where you're like, okay, yes. Okay. You're going to be happy too. Yeah. And seeing a student be happy, I think, is the driver behind what I do.
It's the best. It's the absolute best.
Yeah.
So what is the best advice that you have for young professionals and or, you know, students that are just entering the program? What would you say are some good things to kind of keep in their back pocket in terms of advice and thinking forward?
I think one of the biggest things is be open to learning new things. I think a lot of times we come in, and especially into graduate school, like, you already have a degree. Some people have multiple degrees by the time they come to our program. But be open to speaking with other students and hearing their experiences and learning, using this time to learn and grow as a person, not just as an academic or business professional, I think is really important. But I also think that it's highly important to understand that this is an investment, and It's a huge investment, but it's an investment in your entire life. And with anything like that, there's going to be sacrifice. There's going to be times where you don't get to go do the fun thing because you have to study. But I always think it's an investment. It's something, you know, nobody can take this away from you ever once you're completed. And it's worth it. It is so worth it when you're done. So just to keep, just to remember that.
Yeah. And I would just add on to that, how lucky they are to have somebody like you who truly cares. Because please, we see you on registration, the day registration opens, you're in the office at like 6 a.m. getting prepped and, you know, the lights are down and you're in the zone getting focused. And it's like, we all kind of like creep by to kind of just make sure you're okay. But again, you know, you offer so much love and support to the students, and they're just so lucky to have somebody like you that genuinely cares about them as a person and their happiness, which just goes back to that family that really comes out of this program that I'm so proud of.
Yeah.
So you're also really involved in the Greenville business community as well. So that's another piece I think that is really important to us as a program is just the involvement and what a great community we're a part of here in Greenville. So tell us a little bit about that.
I've lived in Greenville for roughly like 15 years now. So I've definitely seen with that a lot of the growth that's happened. I kind of joke that I was lucky enough to come to Greenville when it was still a really small town. So some of the like connections I have in the business community in Greenville are people that I've just known for years because there weren't a whole lot of us here at the time. kind of true. But now I spend a lot of my time, like I'm very involved in our local political scene, which I personally enjoy because I can, you know, talk to members of county and city council and make sure that, you know, we have a voice and they're doing things to, you know, promote what we value in Greenville. And I spend a lot of time on that. It's outside of work and everything. That's probably where I spend the majority of my time.
And so that's a great thing to focus on, because obviously there's so much going on nationally right now in the political climate. And I don't want to dive too much into that, but I do want to focus on where it starts. And it starts with local government and really getting involved with your local government. And like you said, getting to know your city council members, county council members. In fact, well, we just had Jill Littlejohn recently do an innovative leadership speaker series, who's formerly on city council. And she asked, and I was kind of disappointed in myself, because she asked the question of all of us, like, how many of you can name your county council members? And honest to God, Katie, I was like, I can't. And so, you know, so she, and she even said before she ran for council, she couldn't do it either. So like, not to feel bad, but it makes you think. It's like, you know, all these national players, but you don't know what's going on really close to home. So talk to me a little bit more about the importance of really getting to know your local representatives.
I think it's really important. Like you said, we all know who these national leaders are. And I think sometimes erroneously that they have massive control over our lives. When in reality they don't. And if I have a problem, I can't just pick up the phone and talk to them or call them. If I do, they're probably not going to answer. We'll all get a form email back. But I think depending on where you live, I know a lot of places in Greenville County specifically are unincorporated. So county council is your government. That is your voice. And it's really fascinating to sit through even a subcommittee meeting and hear about all the decisions they're making. I mean, one that I sat through, they talked about everything from the library system to the landfill. And it was fascinating. And you're just like, oh, okay, these are where life decisions are made. And Greenville County has a fairly responsive county council, as does the city. And so you can reach out to these people, even if you politically don't agree or you're on a different side, they still respond. So I think that's very important for people to get involved locally.
Well, it's such a good point when you say library systems. It's like, I don't think of that as something that is involved in, you know, politics for that matter. But when you talk about it in terms of being engaged in the community and that being such a huge resource for everybody, again, it's just kind of learning what's out there and how to really know who and when to reach out. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And one thing about Greenville, I'm just going to plug this too, is that we have several, like a couple dozen community run boards and commissions that are citizen run. So for example, the library board is composed of citizens from Greenville County. So they make the decisions. So there's a number of boards and commissions that average citizens, you don't have to run for office, can hold positions on and make. You know, there's a business development, there's a real estate development board, there's an airport board. I mean, there's lots of stuff that you can get involved and really make an impact without being political, quote unquote.
Oh, I love that.
I know.
No, really. I mean, think about it. You know, if you don't want to run for office, but you can still get involved in something that you're super passionate about, I think that's amazing. And again, great information for people to know, because I bet a lot of people don't realize because they're thinking, oh, I don't have the time or want to get into all of that. But truly, if they could be on one of those commissions or boards, what a difference they could make in kind of a short period of time as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that with us. That's great information.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, we've been home and there's been a lot of awful things going on in the world. So I don't want to end on that. But I've been asking people what has brought them joy during this time, because I know we've all kind of had to figure out you know, a new world and a new life. And we've all found different things that have brought us joy during this time, or we've had to, we've been forced to find things. So what, during this quarantine time and during this crazy time in the world, tell us some things about you that have brought you joy or have brought you a little nugget of peace in your day.
Well, I can think of two things. One is honestly being able to spend more time with my child. As cliche as that is, and even while it's like I'm working, I'm like, oh, he's in the next room. And it's, you know, the young age where they still want to be around you. So I feel like I'm getting bonus time to soak that up.
I love
and
it.
Also, you know, speaking with family that's at a distance a little bit more, even if it's checking in, I feel like we're talking more and more consistently than we have in the past. And so that's making me really happy. That's my silver lining. And then the other thing, and I totally just forgot what it was. I forgot.
That's okay.
Oh, no, I got it. Is that as crazy as everything is, like life has still stayed relatively normal. We've been able to do our jobs. We've been able to help students. Students can still take classes and learn. You know, so it's like in that regard, I think I'm very joyful that I work somewhere where that transition has been, all right, we're still moving. Stuff is still happening. It's just in a different format. So that brings me joy too, because I have friends who are not as lucky as we are, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is amazing that we can still move forward and do everything we do, because I think you were like me, you preferred the in-person meetings that we were so used to. And so never really using these types of platforms. I mean, we're on WebEx right now, but WebEx or Zoom, and we've been basically living on them since March, to which I'm so thankful that I can see people's faces and you know, it does, it helps a little bit, but yeah, that's been a consensus from a lot of people, is just connecting more with people that you've kind of lost touch with. And it really makes you think, you know, once this is over, how life is going to change and relationships are going to change. And I think that there are some opportunities and some silver linings to come out of this. But yeah, like you said, a lot of people are still, you know, having a really rough time. So it's just this weird balance of trying to find these little bright spots within the day. Like one of my things I said to my girls this morning, I'm like, I haven't killed our flowers yet because I'm actually here to water them. Because the joke in my family is like, my mom bought me this beautiful, I don't even know what it was called. I think most normal people know what it is, but it was like a tree looking thing with yellow flowers that was beautiful last year. And I just kind of gave her this look like, you know, I'm going to kill this thing in 2 days. And I tried so hard and you know, I killed it. But
I don't even try. So that's, I'm like, good for you. That's impressive. But no.
But yeah, I mean, it's just these little things that and trying to hang on to these joyful moments. But again, I think that we're both really thankful that we're able to still connect with our students and have that ability to still be able to make a difference and help them out through their whole process in the program, even if it's not how we envisioned it being in our semesters. Well, Katie, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, it was so great to hear your story and learn a little bit more about your background. And again, just how lucky the Clemson MBA program is to have you on the team and to support this great group of students that we have. So, you know, everybody out there, please stay well, take care, and we'll see you next time. Have a magical day.
This episode was produced by the Clemson University MBA program and sponsored by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub.
Thanks for listening to the Clemson MBA in One podcast. Hear more stories at www.clemson.edu/MBA/podcast.